So how did you first hear about the station, and why did you first decide to get involved?
I transferred from the University of Michigan into the A school.
Okay.
In the summer of 78. And when I was in Michigan, I listened to their station, and it was, everyone listened to it, it seemed. And it was a place where I learned about all kinds of new music, and particularly, interestingly, jazz at that time. It was really big on jazz. So when I got to Charlottesville from Ann Arbor, I quickly realized, I came there without having visited the campus, and having grown up in a suburb of Philadelphia and then living in the kind of radical hippie dorm at the University of Michigan, coming to Charlottesville was quite a culture shock.
Yeah.
There were, the racism and sexism was completely in the open. In fact, I don't know if it still exists, but on the corner there was a place called the University Cafeteria that a friend of mine called the Slave Place, because all the people working behind the counter were African Americans with do-rags, and you would get your tray and walk through the line and they'd say, serve you, serve you. And then the management was white. And it just, in the A school, several of our professors were blatantly racist and ridiculed and mocked the two or three African Americans in our class. Also in the A school, there were no women faculty, and I attempted to create I gathered my fellow women students together at the end of the day, and I said, how about we work together and create a lecture series from women architects so that we at least get some exposure to women in the field? And I was rather shocked when my fellow classmates said to me, that will ruffle too many feathers. How about instead we have a series on balancing career and family? And so I was listening to, I found WTJU because I knew that college radio was a thing.
Yeah.
And listened to it and loved it. And I was a fan of several DJs, including Spot, including, of course, Bebop.
Yeah.
There's some whose names I can't remember. Killer, of course, and several others. And I just loved listening to the station. It was the only place where I felt like there was a kindred spirit in that entire experience of being thrust into this conservative, bigoted little town. And of course, the Greek life was relatively minor at the University of Michigan, and it was everything
at
UVA, and with the A school being situated behind a couple of fraternities, and it, you know, every Monday morning the whole place reeked of beer and vomit as you approached the school. So for all those reasons, I sought the refuge of WTJU as much as I could. And when they mentioned that, I don't know where I saw that they were having an orientation for people who wanted to become involved in the station, I zipped over there as fast as I could. And so that's how I got to know it.
Yeah. What an inspiring story, too. I'm so happy there were pioneers like that back in the day. So now, your show, what was that, and how did that sort of combat the racism and sexism that you experienced?
Well, of course, starting out, I had a 2 to 6 a.m., I think it was 2 to 6 a.m. Monday morning slot.
Oh, no.
I went to that meeting, and then Spot, Marcia, who later became my housemate, she asked me to put together set lists, and she would review those to determine which of these young aspiring DJs she would bring on for a test drive. And so I did that, and I was thrilled when she okayed my set lists, and she plunked me into Monday morning 2 to 6 a.m., which, of course, screwed up my entire school studies.
Yeah.
But I needed it so badly. And so I learned by just roaming the stacks in the wee hours I learned so much about different music. And a friend of mine at the A school had grown up half his life in England, and the north of England had a almost Liverpudlian accent, and was also enthused about the kind of music I liked, which was new wave and punk. So he and I became architecture and music buddies, and I invited him to come and do the show with me because I was learning from him a lot of the British new wave artists, and he introduced me in depth to Stiff Records. Mm-hmm. So I learned about labels I learned about labels and became a student of music in that way. And I learned about the importance of producers, and I already had learned from listening to the station in Ann Arbor about segues, and had a great time trying to come up with creative segues and pulling together disparate seeming tunes from disparate seeming artists and making them meld together and showing the similarities and differences. So that's what I did at 2 to 6 a.m. And of course, there was always the in that four-hour period, the need to use the ladies' room. And we were in the basement of Humphreys, and I'm sure you've heard that the bathroom was on the third floor.
Mm-hmm. So
I always managed to get there early enough to pick a super long cut so that I could, when I needed to, run upstairs and use the bathroom. So those are my memories. It smelled in Humphreys. I remember that. The studio kind of stunk. The chair squeaked. Sometimes it would make a noise that came out over the air like flatulence. And there were some DJs who worked that into their shows.
What a beginning.
Yeah, and the usual group of really interesting music nuts and uber radio nerds. I just fell in love with every single person I met there, almost.
So now,
and I developed lifelong friendships through the people that I worked with at WTJU, and because I was a fan of their shows, Chuck Taylor, of course, and Will Kerner introduced me to all kinds of things that I hadn't heard before, and they continue, they're good friends to this day, although I don't see them that often.
Yeah. That's really neat that y'all are staying connected, though. I'm glad we're doing this. So now, you mentioned new wave and punk as two, I guess, genres per se that you were introduced to. What else
I was already interested in punk. As you know, in the late 70s, the album rock, the mellow rock, was just, for someone coming of age in that time, for me in particular, it just was as boring as all get out. And when punk came along, when people like Patti Smith and the Vibrators and the Sex Pistols came along and Iggy Pop, it was so refreshing. It was so energizing. And it was the perfect antidote to that super mellow album rock that permeated so many radio stations across the country. So I had gotten into it before I got to Charlottesville, but I really was able to explore it as a DJ. As you know, when you're a DJ and you have all that music at your fingertips, you just are a kid in a candy store, listening to everything, finding links, learning about the artists, learning about the music, the producers, the intrigue behind all of it. And it was a time when there were labels coming up that were knocking out Warner Elektra Asylum and providing all kinds of new artists opportunities to be heard, and that's WTJU was the place where you could hear them and play them.
For sure. So Linda, did you have a favorite album in the music library?
Oh, I don't think I could ever say there was a single favorite album at all. I mean, you would have a favorite of the week or the month.
Definitely.
I remember during, to your point about the culture shock and finding an outlet for progressive values, I remember doing a rock marathon show that was all political punk, politicized punk, from the Dead Kennedys to polystyrene to the Slits. There were so many people who were rebelling against the prevailing bigotries of the day and also against warmongering. Mm-hmm. So you could put together a whole marathon show that in many ways was the punk equivalent of the 60s folk movement.
Yeah.
In terms of inspiring activism and giving voice to the injustice and the fight against injustice at the time.
Yeah. So now, do you still listen to WTJU today?
I listen infrequently because I haven't configured my audio setup in my house to be able to stream it in a way that sounds good, and that's my technical ineptitude.
Definitely.
But I do listen to marathon shows, and you know what? I know that my life would be so much richer if I did listen every day. It still is one of the, if not the best radio station in the country. And I am so delighted to see what Nathan and the team has done with the station. And it's still got that spirit that it had when I arrived in the late 70s and has gone beyond. When I got there, Steve Harris was jazz program director, mm-hmm. and he started a series of concerts that were pretty amazing and educated a lot of us about, they were pretty amazing, and they were similar to what was happening in Ann Arbor live at the time. Which was remarkable that he could. Oh, sorry about that.
You're fine.
Speaking of Steve, that looks like it's an Atlanta phone number. Anyway, and he and I and his wife are still friends to this day as well. Wow. In fact, we just went and stayed with them last fall for a few days. So Steve became a music promoter and owned a concert venue for years, which he sold recently in Atlanta. And it was, he brought a whole lot of the dimension of live music sponsored by WTJU in a big way into the arena when we were there in the early 80s. I think he started doing that.
Wow. So now you mentioned sort of the spirit of WTJU and sort of the fight against injustice, as you put it. So how do you think we can best preserve that at the station? What do you think makes TJU like that?
WTJU has always been about discovery and providing WTJU has always been about discovery and providing a vehicle, a way for voices that are not in the mainstream to be heard. And the continued acquisition of music from the smaller labels and from new groups that are breaking new ground has always been its hallmark, and it continues to be to this day across the genres. So I think that it has continued to fulfill that promise and to provide a community center in many ways, where people who share similar values feel like their values, their views are being reflected through the music and also being challenged. One of the things that Spot did that I loved was that she gave a show to a member of the Nation of Islam on Sundays. And he would play Malcolm X speeches and music that reflected the views of the he would play Malcolm X speeches and music that reflected that his views about the nature of oppression of people of color in a fairly radical and dramatic way. He took over those airwaves for a few hours every Sunday, and that was incredibly educational and also important in a community like Charlottesville for that voice to get out, because it wasn't getting out anywhere else in any other way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that the people that are attracted to work at WTJU understand that promise and that and the importance of sharing those voices, and have continued to give voice to the music of the people that are part of WTJU today. Continue to give voice to the music of fighting back, the music that challenges the status quo and challenges the mainstream culture. And it's so important to do that. As we know, commercial interests commercial interests don't respect or want to hear those voices that challenge the status quo, that challenge the corporate structures in our capitalist system. Now I'm getting really... mainstream culture is about, you know, the path of least resistance and appeasing the masses. And WTJU has always been about the art of the music, the art of the artist, the expression, and offering those different views a place to be heard. And the way that musical artists use the tools of making music to express those views is an important way for folks to hear these messages. So I think that spirit continues. I know it continues, and I am grateful to hear the modern day version of WTJU. It gives me hope for our future as a collective society to know that WTJU is not only continuing to do that and provide that important service, but also that it's actually finding new ground, creating new ground, and making ways for more and more people to hear these messages and music. And it gives me hope.
Aw, well, I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, we're trying to keep it up, I think. So far, yeah. So good.
Well, and music has always been art. Art has always been at the vanguard of change. Art has always defined where we're headed. And music in particular, and the kind of music that WTJU plays, has been so important in helping people understand their times and see where it's possible to go.
Definitely. Sort of the harbinger of goodness, something like that.
So yeah, it's always defining new pathways and setting out new visions and energizing people who are in the struggle and giving them hope and strength to continue on and to define spaces that are not mainstream and create safe places for these different voices to be expressed and the other thing that WTJU does so well is it creates community, mm-hmm. in a way that I haven't found since I left Charlottesville, frankly. I really haven't, because of the community that is WTJU and the way it echoes across the landscape, it's a common cultural thread that unites people and makes it creates connections that I think are really important and can resonate and You know, and the other thing that WTJU does so well is when it challenges us, it helps us understand one another better if we listen.
Definitely. I think listening is a huge part of that. So earlier you mentioned challenging the status quo. And I think there must have been some sort of, I guess, resistance against that just within it or just in the community. But what were some speed bumps during your time either as the rock director or at TJU? But also some highlights, you know, what were your big successes off of that?
Interestingly, you know, I don't recall any particular backlash to anything that we were doing. A spot might well have some of those, particularly with that. With the Nation of Islam show that she put on. I don't recall anything like that at the time because there were so many other, there was, what is that other, WUVA, I think. Mm-hmm. There were other stations out there, and at those, you know, in those times, it wasn't like it is today. If people didn't like what they were listening to, they would change the channel. They wouldn't demand that it be shut down or censored. So I don't recall any sort of challenges at the time, even though there may have been. I just don't recall that. I mean, the challenges that we had as program directors were making sure that our DJs showed up and did their shows. I remember one Saturday listening to the jazz shows, and the DJ slot ended at noon, and his next DJ hadn't shown up, so he signed off the air.
Wow.
And so I called him up, and I said, "You can't do that, Aaron." I shouldn't say his name, but anyway. I called him up, and I said, "You know, you can't do that." I got on my bike and rode over to the station as fast as I could and cranked us back up again and just started playing music until we could find a DJ to come in and take over. So, I mean, the challenges were really more the equipment. We had no money. There were no paid staff. And then DJs, you know, oversleeping and forgetting their slots. So, I mean, those were the challenges as program director that I remember most vividly.
Yeah. So I talked to Marsha a few days ago, and she mentioned her time there. And she also mentioned panhandling down on the corner to get some money for a new airboard. Were you involved with any of that?
I don't remember that at all. But we were such a shoestring operation. And depended so heavily on our engineers to use their baling wire and duct tape as best they could to keep us on the air and keep us running. So it's very, very likely that that sort of thing was going on, but I wasn't a part of the panhandling team.
All right. In your opinion, what was like the most funny or interesting or just quintessentially WTJU story from your time at the station?
Oh my goodness. I can't think of a single story. There were so many times when Marsha would do these shows. I mean, every Valentine's Day, she'd do her Eat Buffalo Chips and Die tribute to your ex-lovers. And she was very creative and there were so many other DJs too. I mean, Aaron Margosis, not the other Aaron I was talking about. Aaron Margosis was very creative and hilarious in his shows. Don, and I can't remember Don's last name, the one who made the flatulence jokes when the chair would fart. What was interesting to me, you know, I mentioned that it was a pretty progressive cluster of people who were drawn to the station, but not all. So, for example, we had a business manager who was in the comm school, and he did not share the views and values of so many DJs, and that was pretty apparent. One of our engineers was also pretty conservative, and but he tolerated the rest of us. He wasn't He was a very upbeat guy. I just don't have any. I suppose one of the things I would say is that whenever an oddball artist would come to town, all of the WTJU DJs would show up for the concert. And I remember one in particular with Fred Frith, avant-garde artist, who played the CNO, I believe. And then we retired with him to my apartment at the top of the Altamont downtown, mm-hmm. where I had a sea of white balloons. And we all kind of, with this musician, hung out, talked music, and bopped balloons at each other for a while in the dark I had pink and blue lights. So, it was just a cluster of lovable oddballs that enjoyed one another's company, enjoyed learning from each other, listened to each other's shows, called into each other's shows, and all frequented all the live music, and also places like Vinegar Hill Theater, anything that was providing a different kind of a countercultural experience, the WTJU crews would always be there. And it was such an oasis in a conservative university.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any advice for current interns or DJs for keeping sort of the essence of TJU intact?
The only thing I would say to current interns and DJs is to make sure they listen to each other's shows and learn from one another. There's so much creativity that happens when people put their shows together with care and love and passion. And there's so much you can learn about music and about each other by listening and talking to one another about latest discoveries. And also, listen to the old timers. Mm-hmm. And talk to them. It's a treasure. WTJU is such a treasure, and the time that folks get to spend there is very special, as I'm sure you're gleaning from talking
to
these DJs.
Yeah.
So treasure that and make the most of it. Listen to as much as you can. Expose yourself to as much as you can while you're there.
All right. Well, thank you for that advice. Did I miss anything? Is there anything else that you want to add about the station or what you're up to now?
No, I don't think so. I will say that there are plenty of communities. I took it for granted when I was there. And very few communities have such a special radio station. I know you can listen online, but being a part of it when it's right in your hometown is unique, and it does create community, not just among the people that work there, but the listeners and the town at large. It has a big influence on the community, and so I recommend that people treasure it while they're there, and as they consider where they're moving next, check out the radio stations before you set down roots, because you will miss it if you don't have a station like WTJU in your community. You will miss it, and you will wish you had it back.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Linda. That's really wonderful to hear.